to the truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always a delight to have you join us as we face the issues. I will do a brief monologue. After our monologue, we'll open our telephone lines, invite you to call in. And oftentimes I get so caught up and involved in the subject or the issue of the day, I fail to repeat that telephone number often enough for you. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Jot that number down. Keep it in your mind. Anytime during the course of the broadcast today, pick up the telephone. Dial in. Love to hear your questions, comments, and the position that you take on some of these issues today. We're talking about today, Allah, okay, but ban Jesus. Allah, okay, but ban Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be talking about a variety of aspects of society and the subjects therein that relates to that very subject. As we see the rapid pace of the encroachment of the Islamic jihadist on America, as we witness the rapid pace of the Socialist Marxist Communist Party taking control, especially in the primaries across America, as we witness, ladies and gentlemen, the dissipation and the dissing of biblical Christianity, we're witnessing the rising, uprising of the immoral, ungodly, unholy Sharia law called Islam. Along with, it's a fascinating thing as I look at it and investigate it, ladies and gentlemen, that you find Sharia law, which is adamantly opposed to the Sodomite agenda. In fact, in Saudi Arabia and other Islamic nations, they will behead a homosexual, throw him off the top of a building. But in America, we're witnessing the joining of the hands, if you will, in the Islamic jihadist movement, the Socialist Marxist Communist movement, and the LGBTQ sodomite movement. That is absolutely a strange, strange system that we're witnessing. I think the bottom line is, each one looks at the voter as being a useful idiot. So the bottom line in our issues that we discuss today is the urgency for us to recognize the need to vet the candidates and vote for the candidates, local, state, national, and everything that we do. We need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word say? I believe it's time Christians stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen. I believe it's time churches stop being silent about these issues. I believe it's time pastors, if I can be bold enough to say, grow a spine, develop a backbone, and stand up for the truth of the Word of God. God's Word talks about the enemies. You look at the book of Nehemiah, and the enemies of God, the enemies of God's man, as Nehemiah was trying to rebuild the wall around Jerusalem. The three main enemies that we see in the text of Nehemiah were what we would call the Islamic jihadists today. There has been a war against Christianity and against Judaism for the entire duration of the life of Islam. And for the past 1,400 years, we've not seen it dissipate. We've seen it morph into different categories. We're witnessing today, ladies and gentlemen, across our nation, in the state of Texas, in the state of Wisconsin, in the state of Minnesota, in the state of New York, in the state, ladies and gentlemen, of Michigan, where it seems as though there's no turning back, there's no stopping, there's no dissipation of the uprising, or maybe I should say the rising up and demanding control out of the Islamic jihadist. We're witnessing today the standing up of communism in America. We see, ladies and gentlemen, those that are useful idiots that are embracing the socialist, Marxist, communist ideal. And all of these, when I say all of these, I'm referring to the Islamic jihadist movement, the socialist, Marxist, communist movement, each and every one, individually or combined, will destroy our constitutional republic. In fact, the Democratic Socialists of America have openly stated that they will burn down, destroy our constitutional republic in order to rebuild it on a socialist, Marxist, communist level. Those are some of the things we'll be talking about today. And may I say again, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I'm reminded, ladies and gentlemen, of Proverbs, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I believe we've forgotten that in Christianity today. I believe that somehow, some way, there's a mindset that we've got to wrestle with the demons ourselves. And somehow we've forgotten the fact that God is still on the throne. Somehow we've forgotten the fact that God would have us to be salt and light, standing for truth, coming out from under the bed, getting out of the closet, letting our light so shine that others will see Jesus in us, taking a stand for what is truth. And when we look at the truth book, what I call the truth book, John 8:31-32, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, George Orwell, the secularist, may have missed a lot of things, but he was right on target when he made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak the truth. We find that to be factual today. And yet, I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. And the article goes on to state that when it comes to the agencies, the organizations that are least likely to stand on truth, the article reads, the government, the media, and academia. We're looking at our prestigious universities today and colleges that are mainly run by the socialist, Marxist, communist today, putting out students, graduating students, that have a piece of paper that's not worth the paper it's written on, that is allowing them to be stirred inside, because many of them have a PhD in philosophical subjects that have no place in society to get a job. They're upset because they can't. And so therefore, that is the age group, that is the group, I'd call them educated idiots, if I could be bold, that's upset with the American capitalistic system. And they're part and parcel of the socialist, Marxist, communist movement today that's wanting to overthrow the present government. Listen, I've listened to good, solid politicians say, it can never happen in America. We'll never go communist. We'll never allow the socialists to take control. We'll never allow the Islamics to take control. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing it. We're seeing it incrementally taking place. I wouldn't be so bold from some of the politician's standpoint. I wouldn't be so bold to make that statement. What if God will use the socialist, Marxist, communist, and the Islamic jihadist to bring judgment upon America because America has said no to Jesus Christ, because America has turned our backs on God, because America has banned God, banned the cross, banned the Bible, banned prayer, and trying to ban the flag in as many places as possible. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to The 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's been my posture. That's been my program. That's been my statement for many, 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 many years. We need to stand on truth and not be afraid to defend it. It may not be popular. We may not win friends and influence people with it, but it'll please God. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how can I find that? That's a good question. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark, an identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we are witnessing, I believe, the further divide in America. We're witnessing the chasm. We're witnessing that division. Grow wider and deeper in our nation. Across America today, we have dozens of the socialist, Marxist, Islamic, jihadist running for election, running for public office. Some of these candidates openly advocating for Sharia law. Some of these candidates openly imposing and, if you please, praising Allah. And, ladies and gentlemen, the fake book called the Quran. Some of our citizens are embracing that. Recently, Mandami, the Islamic jihadist mayor of New York City, openly praised Allah and praised Allah in his name. We'll talk about that in a minute. I believe Jim is on the line. Jim, go with your question or comment, please.
Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. You started out with Nehemiah. And then you asked a what if, and I would like to for you to verify the Nehemiah story for my recollection there. And I'm going to run a what if and then throw out a parallelism. Okay, Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem. His laborers that were rebuilding the wall were armed at the same time. They had church service, or they read the word of God from morning until evening. They were beset on the outside by threats that they were going to be killed, that they were going to tear the wall down, and they were not going to allow this to happen. Am I correct so far, sir?
Absolutely, you're correct. In fact, you're almost reciting chapter 4 pretty clearly. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. Now, this is the what-if section there. You got a group on that wall that are laborers, and they've got on the garments of the people outside the wall, and they're protesting against the builders of the wall. The only difference between those people and the people today that are outside of these campuses, queers for Palestine, or whatever you want to call them, the only difference is they're not being read the word from sun up to sunset. It's the lack of God and Jesus Christ in their lives that has allowed their minds to be swayed by this I'm not going to call it a religion. This political system that will, in the end, take and throw them off the tallest building they can find.
Jim, you're exactly right, and you have articulated it well. In fact, let me back up a moment, do a little recap, and then tie up the loose ends. Nehemiah had made a commitment to go in and rebuild the wall, and the intensification of the enemy. In fact, as you read the fourth chapter in particular, you find, by the way, the third chapter is coordination of the workers, talking about this one working next to this one working next to this one. It was the coordination of the laborers that caused success under the leadership of God in Nehemiah's life. But in the fourth chapter, it names, about the fourth chapter, I'm looking at my in my mind at the Bible, left page, right column, but the next two or three verses before the end of the Bible, the end of the page. And the three major ones that were advocating against were all three what we would call the Islamic jihadists today. And they kept sending word. Here's the picture that is so intriguing yet so dangerous. They would slip in to the camp and send word to the different workers that at the least time you expected, we're going to come in, we'll come into the camp, we're going to kill all of you. And that conspiracy kept building and building until the workers were petrified. They were working with the mortar and trowel in one hand and the sword in the other hand. And the fourth chapter, the 21st, here's the key. Nehemiah said, "Our God shall fight for us." It was the recognition, as you stated, the recognition of God and God's control and God's protection and provision. They successfully built the wall in 52 days, 49,960, I believe it was, workers that rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. And it was because, as you look at the total text, there was the concentration on focusing on God, the reading of the Word, and one other thing, when you get to the 11th chapter of Nehemiah, you find they had a census. After the wall is finished, the gates are in place, they had a census taken to see if the ones that would come into the gates, into the city, had the proper credentials. And I see with that, you've got to have the proper credentials, i.e. being born again to enter into the gates of that place called heaven. Wonderful study of the book of Nehemiah, but you're exactly right. The missing element today happens to be the embracing of the Word of God, the Christians that's willing to stand. And when we look at what has taken place, and you alluded to that, with these demonstrations, these pickets outside the doorways and the campuses of the universities, on the streets, et cetera, in cities across America, with the demonstrations, these are useful idiots. That's the term that Islam has given them. These are those that are open-minded so much their brains have fallen out, because they're the airheads, as Rush Limbaugh used to call them, mush brains, as he called them, that believe that America's bad. We can hate God, hate the Bible, hate Jesus, and embrace Islam, embrace Allah, embrace the Sharia law, and everything will be all right. Did I summarize it pretty good?
Outstanding, sir. May I make one more comment, please, sir?
Yes, sir.
This is for the listening audience out there. I'm gonna blow your horn. I'm gonna blow the horn for you here. This man knows what he's talking about. If you've ever watched him on a pulpit, you've seen his Bible. He's got more sticky notes inside that Bible than there are pages in that Bible. So he's done read it a few times. So he's definitely giving you the truth. So don't be afraid to show up.
Amen. You're telling on me now, Brother
Jim. Yes,
sir. we're delighted.
I just noticed that yesterday, and I just had to bring it up. I'm like, that man got more sticky notes than he's got pages in that thing.
somebody said one time, "What makes your Bible so thick?" And you touched on it. It's the sticky notes, I reckon.
Yes, sir.
Jim, thank you, brother, so much,
bless
you as we keep looking up today.
Too.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, Abdul El-Sayed invokes Islamic prayer and a super tight Michigan Democrat primary. Well, he won the primary, but ladies and gentlemen, Islamic prayer is okay, public speaking, but not okay to pray in Jesus' name. Did you realize that right here in the city council in Duval County in Jacksonville, Florida, if a pastor or a clergy be invited to lead in prayer for the invocation, he is not to do so in Jesus' name. But do you realize they've had Islamic jihadists pray, and nobody said you can't pray in the name of Allah? Nobody said you cannot pray in Arabic, and in that Arabic prayer, condemning Christianity, condemning God, condemning America, condemning the way of life in America. And that's what the Islamic jihadists usually will do if ever, ever, ever given a microphone, an opportunity to pray publicly. This article reads, Democratic Socialist Abdul El-Sayed fighting Wednesday in a tight race against the one that he was running against, I'll not call the name, for the party's nomination for Senate, has invoked an Islamic prayer for his campaign. He addressed the crowd regarding the outcome, saying, Ishlahala, which is also taken to mean in the Quran, generally speaking, understood, if God wills. And he's talking about if Allah wills. Wednesday morning margin saw his numbers at 48, etc., etc., etc. Ladies and gentlemen, why is this so important? Because we're in an election cycle. We're in the primary cycle. In the state of Florida, we're right now in the early voting time. And let me say this, and I'll say it again two or three times during the course of this broadcast today. We need to vet the candidates. We need to look at the right candidate. And right now, maybe you know it, maybe you don't. Maybe you've already gotten your ballot that's been issued as far as your preliminary ballot, your one that goes out before the election, which is the 18th, the official election date for the primary. Running for governor, we have 11 candidates. Some of them just want their name on the marquee, if you will. Some of them realize there's no way in the world they could be elected. But we've got two or three that are competing candidates. And I've vetted the candidates. You may have also. I'm not trying to reduce to nothing that which you maybe have done. But I believe one of the fallacies we have in conservatism, Christianity, and patriotism is the failure to vet the candidates. Vetting the candidate means you look at, talk with if possible, and look at, do a deep dive on internet, find out things that have been said, positions that have been taken, what they've done in the past. If I look at one of the governors running for governor candidates, and when he was in the House here in the state of Florida, it took a stand to get some moral ethical bills that should have been passed but wouldn't even allow him to get to the floor. When you look at the one that is now supposed to be the lead candidate that's in Washington, but yet part of his diatribe for running is, I'm going to protect the state of Florida from Washington. He's in Washington now. What's he doing to protect us? He's not taking a public stand against the Islamic jihadist movement. He's not taking a public stand for biblical Christianity. He's not taking a public stand against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. He's not taking a public stand trying to in any way prevent the porn material in our classroom textbooks. He's not taking a public stand against the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. He's not taking a public stand saying that I will prevent Council on American Islamic Relations and the Muslim Brotherhood from being dominant in the state of Florida. There's one candidate that has, and I vetted the candidates. And ladies and gentlemen, I say you need to be very, very careful with having a major endorsement of a candidate and not let that blind you into believing that because President Trump endorses a candidate that we need to just stop any vetting ourselves. I'm thankful for our president. I'm thankful for his stand. I'm thankful for what he's done in office. Thankful for what he's doing now in office and the stands that he's taking. But he's not God. He's not infallible. And so I say, ladies and gentlemen, we need to vet the candidate. And as Christians, conservatives, churches, pastors, preachers, teachers of the Word of God, we need to honor God first. We need to stand for the candidate that's going to do a buttressing, as I would call it, of our foundation. Psalms 11:3 says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And the righteous needs to pray, vet the candidates, and go out and vote. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. I tell you, President Trump, I mean, I lack him, I voted for him. I'm less than 100 years old, but Benjamin Netanyahu, he stood up. He says he's not going to stop. He's not going to stop. You know, bring his troops out of Gaza until they surrender, and they say they're not going to surrender their weapons. So they let you know, we're going to be in trouble. if America keeps going the way we're going, we are in deep crap.
Well, one of the things, Kenneth, if I can jump in for just a moment for the sake of time, we are in deep trouble. And people look at it on the basis, if I can do a little parenthetical footnote, many people in America look at it on the basis that President Trump can control the war. Many look at it on the basis the socialist, Marxist, communist on the left say that we should have never entered the war with Iran. Well, for 47 years, presidents with no spine, no backbone, no willingness to stand for America allowed the Iranians to badger America, do whatever they wanted to, and America kept bending and bowing and sending plane loads of pallets of cash, as Barack Hussein Obama did, to appease the Islamic jihadist in Iran. Trump is doing that. Right at this very moment, it's at a critical balance stage. If this war continues in Iran up to, including this time frame now, about 85 days before the midterm elections, it will jeopardize the conservative vote. It will jeopardize President Trump's next 2 years in office. But it's necessary. Listen very carefully. As I've said so often, our general listener needs to understand, this war in Iran is just part, one of the prongs to entering into, and we're gradually, progressively entering into Ezekiel 38 and 39, the war with Russia, where Russia leads five-nation coalition of Islamic nations and Islamically controlled nations to come against Israel. Right now, I say, eschatologically, prophetically, biblically, we cannot win the battle against Iran. We might tamp it down. We might stop the hot war as we see it. But we will not stop Iran. Iran is old Persia. Old Persia is part of the five nations that will follow Russia coming against Israel, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39. And when you look at Ezekiel 38 in particular, God says, it's my people, it's my land, it's my war, I brought it about. God's hand is at work bringing this about. And 5 years ago, when the invasion from Russia into Ukraine, I said then that we're witnessing the beginning of World War III, or as the Bible would call it, the war with Russia. World War III and the war with Russia starts the rumblings, and Matthew 24 says, in the last days, part of the sign to be the rumblings, the rumors of war, the rumors of war. And that word rumor means rumblings. Any place on the globe you look at now, you'll see a conflict taking place. We see that intensifying because we see the word of God being fulfilled. We're drawing closer and closer to the very day that the church is suddenly sees raptured out of this old world. And so, Kenneth, and you've perhaps heard me say before, our son that's up in Tennessee, Greg says, it's not falling apart, it's all coming together. Because the Word of God is being fulfilled, and all that we see in the end time prophetic texts are coming together. And as a result of that, we need to look up, lift up our heads, and recognize our redemption draweth nigh. Luke 21:28, a quote. And that's what we need to do. And Christians need to vet the candidates, need to pray, we need to be prepared, and even in the early voting, go ahead and vote for the candidates that we believe would mostly fit the criteria that God gives us to vet a candidate on. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
You had a candidate for governor. I forgot his name. You had him on your show.
Yeah, that's Paul Renner.
I beg your pardon?
Paul Renner.
Paul Renner.
Okay. Paul Renner is one of the former speakers of the House, and Governor Ron DeSantis just came out and publicly praised him for the work that he'd done and his quote that he'll make a good governor.
Okay, thank you so much, Paul Renner. All right.
Thank you so much, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, when a pastor or a clergy is called at a government function to do the invocation, he's told not to pray in Jesus' name. That's never been told to an Islamic. He can pray in the name of Allah. Looking at the headline, says, talking about what is happening with the discrimination against Christians. Violation, statutory violation. Food bank accused of religious discrimination for retaliating against a Christian church. Ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about today is the need to recognize that the future of America, our Constitutional Republic, our Bill of Rights, all are hanging in the balance in this election. if we do not vet the candidate, if we do not pray, if we do not do what is pleasing to God based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, we're going to lose our nation. This article reads, a civil war erupted in Wyoming a few weeks ago when a Christian church on private land inside the outside perimeter of the Wind River Indian Reservation stated the Faith Foundation, Jesus Christ, is the only way to heaven. As a result of that, they are now being accused of doing something that's wrong. We'll talk about that further. We're going to take the top of the